Unit 6. Off-balance sheet accounting.
Text 6.1. Cleaning up the balance sheet. However, it is not always the limit on borrowing's power which prompts a company to seek off-balance sheet finance. After all, the Articles of Association can, with shareholders' approval, be amended. That change will not help the management if the main problem for the business is that its borrowings are simply too high. The stock market is acutely aware of the dangers for a company which has high levels of debt that must be serviced. One of the crucial factors in assessing a company is its gearing, the proportion of new borrowings to shareholders' funds. When gearing becomes uncomfortably high, the stock market begins to get a little worried, and the pressure is on the company to reduce the ratio. When a company finds itself in the unfortunate position of having high gearing, which cannot be reduced, or even held steady, out of internally generated funds, it is easy to see why the management might be lured into one of these artificial funding schemes. The off-balance sheet finance may be applied to reduce existing borrowings, thus bringing down the gearing ratio. Or it may be secured in order to embark on an important project of acquisition which is needed for the company's long-term future. Either way, it still represents a distortion of the company's true financial position, which prevents users of the accounts obtaining a full and fair understanding of its affairs, and it may lead to an investment decision being taken on inappropriate grounds. The position was summed up by the ASC in its foreword to Statement of Standard Accounting Practice 21, which deals with leases and hire purchase contracts. Leasing had become a substantial source of off-balance sheet finance, and the standard was designed to recognize the substance rather than the legal form of a lease, to ensure that leased assets and the corresponding liabilities were reflected in the accounts. The ASC said, when a company is leasing a substantial amount of assets instead of buying them, the effect is that unless the leased assets and obligations are capitalized, potentially large liabilities build up off balance sheet. Equally, the leased assets employed are not reflected on the balance sheet. These omissions may mislead users of a company's accounts, both external users and the company's own management. It was quite a bold move by the ASC. The conflict between the legal form of a transaction and its practical substance is not an easy one to resolve. However, the introduction of the leasing standard passed off without too much trouble, despite the complexity of the subject. By and large, companies have been happy to capitalize the assets purchased under finance leases and to incorporate the corresponding liability to the lessor in the balance sheet. There is still some uncertainty over the distinction between operating leases, which do not need to be capitalized, and the pure finance leases, which must be reflected in the balance sheet. This aside, the leasing standard must constitute something of a victory for the ASC. The question now is whether it will be able to repeat its success in dealing with leasing on the new and more sophisticated off-balance sheet financing schemes which have sprung up more recently.
Text 6.2. Bold proposal may lay balance sheet bare. Consultation ends today on the Accounting Standards Board's proposal that securitized assets and related liabilities should be shown on the face of the balance sheet. It seems to have caused a great deal of consternation. In the UK, this change primarily affects those banks, insurance companies and mortgage companies which have used securitization to fund their mortgage lending. Building societies have yet to take advantage of this funding technique, but building societies too appear to have greeted the ASB proposal with mixed feelings. The opponents of the proposal argue that it could stop them securitizing. To understand why they think that may happen, it helps to know a little about the process. Securitization is an inelegant word to describe long-term structured funding. The most common method of securitization is for the originator, the bank, insurance company and mortgage company, to transfer a pool of mortgages to a specially formed company. This company, called the issuer, may enhance the pool's credit quality, often by buying insurance. It then issues bonds using the pool as security. The process is similar to any normal method of arranging secured debt. Out of the mortgage interest it receives, the issuer pays interest to bondholders and covers its own costs. Part of those costs will be a fee to the mortgage administrator, which is often, but not always, the originator itself. Any remaining profit is usually passed back, in one form or another, again to the originator. In a nutshell, the ASB argues that where the originator continues to enjoy an economic benefit from the securitized mortgages, whether or not the issuer is a direct subsidiary, the issuer's assets and liabilities should appear on the originating group's consolidated balance sheet. The aim of all this is to present as complete a picture as possible of the total assets and liabilities of the group, and when viewed in this light, the logic of this proposal is frankly difficult to refute. There would be no problem but for the fact that most mortgage lenders who have used securitization as a funding method have done so with the specific aim of getting the assets off the balance sheet. Ever since securitization first appeared in the UK, many have regarded this quite incorrectly as its principal advantage. Lenders, it is said, can avoid having to use unnecessarily large amounts of capital to back their securitized loans by shifting them off the balance sheet. That in turn reduces the figure which regulators take into account when working out their minimum capital requirements, with the result that it frees capital for other things, and also substantially reduces the apparent level of gearing. Many lenders argue that this state of affairs is quite acceptable. Their view is that the balance sheet should only show assets which carry significant risk, and since the risk associated with securitized assets is remote or even non-existent, there is no point in clogging up balance sheets with irrelevant figures. That argument is specious for two reasons. Firstly, risk has never been a determining factor in consolidation. Secondly, even if it were relevant, those who use this argument are referring solely to the credit risk and not to all the risks inherent in lending. Whilst the credit risk may indeed be insured away, the risk that profits and service charges will fluctuate, sometimes by enough to turn into losses, will clearly remain. If these losses are being borne by the originator, the parent company is obviously bearing both a liquidity risk and a margin risk. The only way to avoid any form of risk is to sell the assets outright, which implies that the originator receives no further economic benefit whatsoever from the mortgages. However, a sale is clearly a very different process from a securitized bond issue. Looked at in this light, the ASB seems to have a pretty unassailable case. Does it, however, follow that the securitization market is dead? Not at all. The principal advantage of securitization is not that it takes assets off the balance sheet, but that it provides non-recourse funding to maturity. A lender can offer long-term loans secure in the knowledge that the funds to finance them will be there until either the loan matures or the borrower decides to repay it. That is a luxury denied to many lenders, building societies included, who fund their mortgages principally out of short-term deposits, either from retail savers or from larger-scale investors. Apart from the constant need to adjust rates to ensure that volatile short-term funds are not withdrawn, this funding method carries a large liquidity risk. As the aftermath of the BCCI affair earlier in the year showed, it does not take very much for investors to become nervous, with potentially disastrous consequences for lenders. If the ASB proposal becomes mandatory, as I have little doubt it will, there may well, at the margin, be a reduction in the number of organizations issuing mortgage-backed securities, despite their funding advantages. But those who continue to securitize will be doing it for the right reasons, and they will have shown themselves to be long-term participants in the mortgage market. There may even be an increase in sales of mortgage portfolios by institutions unwilling or unable to carry the assets and related liabilities on their balance sheets. To some extent, this is already happening. In the last 12 months, Household Mortgage Corporation has acquired three mortgage portfolios totaling some £600 million. We are negotiating about several more. Although these sales were made with comprehensive warranties, there is no doubt that they were genuine sales within the ASB definition. They immediately reduced the size of the respective vendors' balance sheets. Despite its potential impact on the mortgage market, any accounting change which results in better, clearer accounts is to be welcomed. If this particular proposal can bring about a better understanding of the real merits of securitization as well, then it is very good news.